Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
From the frozen tundra to your airwaves, it's time for 9 to noon.
John Kuhn and Touchdown Packers.
The ultimate midday hangout for Packers talk, Wisconsin sports, and everything in between. He's a Super Bowl champion.
Underneath Kuhn for the touchdown.
A Green Bay legend.
Look at John Kuhn run for the first down and keep it going. Moving the pile all the way to the 6-yard line.
And Lambeau's favorite fullback. John Kuhn. He's bringing the heat, the humor, and just the right amount of chaos. Rami Makhlouf. Together, they're breaking it all down, debating every angle, and having a little fun while doing it. This is 9 to noon on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
So these are the moments, you know, you want as a player. You want those big moments, a big rivalry game. Like you mentioned, we haven't met in the playoffs, and, you know, I don't know when the last time was. And so, you know, it's a big stage where, you know, it's win or go home. So this is what you want as a player, to be able to thrive in and go out there and play your best ball.
Jordan Love on the rivalry, which will have its third chapter of this season tomorrow night at Soldier Field. Wild card weekend in the NFL. Third and final hour of 9 to noon, there's John Kuhn. I'm Rami Makhlouf. We got Brandon Schneid along for the ride. Back to your calls and texts on the Nicolet Law Fan Talking text line. You can send in those texts right now to 414-677-1250. After we talk with Matt Schneidman, who covers the Packers for The Athletic, also hosts the Tundra Pod along with our guy, John Kuhn. And he joins us on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Matt, how are you this morning, my man?
Well, normally I say I'm good. That's a complicated question this morning. On one hand, I love covering playoff football. I'm excited to get down to Chicago today. I am in my truck driving down. On the other hand, I got an alert from the Ford app on my phone saying one of my tires is leaking air, and sure enough, I check, and three of my tires are perfectly fine. My front left tire is significantly lower. I bought the truck 2 weeks ago, so I must have run over a nail. So I might need to get a new tire before I continue my drive down to Chicago.
I mean, you got a spare there in the trunk. Just hop out.
Just put the spare on.
Put the spare on there. You'll be fine.
I could.
All right. There we go.
Will you? Will you? But will you?
Yeah,
do
I
you
mean,
know how
I
to?
Mean, this is a very sudden thing that's just happened, so I'm still working through the possibilities.
I think John is questioning whether you know how to change a tire,
I'm
Matt
curious.
Schneidman.
I that's exactly what I'm asking, Matt Schneidman. Do you know how to change a tire?
I'm here to talk Packers football.
Yep, that's what I thought. Okay, then let's talk Packers football. First thing that comes to your mind about this game on Saturday, go.
The first thing that comes to my mind about this game is, can Jordan Love do what he needs to do to will the Packers to a win if he needs to? And look, I don't have much confidence in the Packers defense right now. I know they played pretty well, all things considered, last time they were at Soldier Field. But look, just looking at what we have in front of our eyes is a defense without much of a pass rush without Micah Parsons, has struggled to stop the run without Micah Parsons and Devontae Wyatt. I know they were okay against the Bears, but this is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league. I watched them be awful against the Ravens. And then this cornerback duo of Carrington Valentine and Keyshawn Nixon, even if you throw Trayvon Diggs in there, it's a sketchy group because, you know, Keyshawn was great the first half of the season, second half of the season, not so much. So when I look at this game, I look at, can a healthy and rested Jordan Love, if he's not rusty, will the Packers to a shootout win on the back of his right arm?
I was reading your piece yesterday, Matt, about it. If the Packers are going to make a deep playoff run, it's probably going to have to be Jordan Love putting the team on his back and carrying them through the playoff run. Does he have to put them on his back starting tomorrow, or do you see a different formula to winning this game?
He might have to a little bit. I don't see it being like a 38-35 game. My prediction was 27-24 Packers, but he can't have a game, and I'm not saying it was entirely on him, but he and the Packers can't have a game on offense like they had against the Panthers or the Eagles, they need to put up points because you can't trust your defense to do what it did against the Vikings or the Eagles and really shut down an offense for an entire game. That's just not going to happen without Micah Parsons and Devontae Wyatt. Now, I know people can say, well, they did it against the Bears. I know, but I don't know if that is sustainable without your two best defensive linemen.
You know, they kind of did that against the Bears the first time around because their offense held onto the ball for 40 minutes of that football game. And a lot of that was because Malik Willis went in as a reserve and was able to handle his business there. I do agree with you that I think the quarterback position for the Packers, Jordan Love specifically, because we know he's going to be playing and starting in his football game, is the most important thing for them going forward. Because even if Josh Jacobs is running the football, it's going to come down to converting on third downs and hitting some of those explosive plays. This is my biggest key to the game, Matt. It's the Packers exploiting man coverage when the Bears pose that opportunity. But if you look on the other side, you could say the same thing about Luther Burden, Roma Dumze, DJ Moore against the Packers when they choose to go in man coverage. How do you see this game getting played by both defenses?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and I totally agree with you because, you know, we've talked about it a bunch this season. The Packers have the receivers who can beat man coverage. Christian Watson did it, you know, on that second touchdown, I believe, he had against the Bears, where I think it was Chauncey Gardner-Johnson in man against him and just beats him on a quick slant off the line of scrimmage when there's pressure and goes the rest of the way for a 41-yard touchdown or something. So it's an interesting question about how each team is going to approach this game. I'm going to go with the Packers defense first. When I think about their defense and how they need to approach this game, I don't think about, oh, are they going to play man or zone? I think about their rush strategy against Caleb Williams. After that last game, it was the first game they played without Micah Parsons. And Matt LaFleur said, we did some good things, but we need to do a better job of not allowing Caleb to use his legs. And I'm not just talking about using his legs to run. I think he only had three runs for 30 yards in that Week 16 game. I'm talking about allowing him to get out of the pocket, escape sacks. We know he's good at that, and make plays through the air while off schedule and running to the perimeter with his legs and then throwing for a first down. He did that a good amount in that Week 16 game as well. So when I think about how the Packers are going to approach this game on defense, I think about how they need to strategically pass rush to not allow Caleb to get out of the pocket. But then at the same time, he can throw from the pocket too. So you kind of got to pick your poison.
Matt Schneidman of The Athletic and the Tundra Pod, along with John Kuhn, joining us here on 9 to Noon. Matt, you tweeted out, there are 507 players, and you were just talking about the pass rush. There are 507 players with a tackle for loss since Week 9. 325 with at least half a sack. Rashawn Gary, making $24 million a year, has neither. He's told me he's a top player in this league, but he needs to play like one for the Packers to make a run. Matt, do you think that there is just a switch that can be flipped with Rashawn Gary and he starts looking like that guy that they signed to that $24 million per year contract in the playoffs?
There might be, but I have no reason to believe that he can do that. It's been so long since we've seen him really, really impact a game. Now, I get the defense that Jeff Hafley has. And, last month we asked him about Rashawn Gary, and he gave a very adamant defense of number 52, saying he's playing the run way better than he did last season, and teams are scheming against him, whether it is with extra blockers, extra chips against Rashawn Gary. Now he's going to see more of those, even double teams without Micah Parsons. And then Jeff Hafley also mentioned, teams are running the ball on third down more against us. And they're also throwing screens on third down or quick passes. And I understand there might not be as many true pass rush situations for Rashawn Gary, but there weren't a lot of true pass rush situations, and there was a lot of extra attention devoted to Micah Parsons too. Now, I'm not asking Rashawn Gary to be Micah Parsons. One of them's making $24 million a year. One of them's making $46.5 million a year. But Rashawn Gary is still the 13th highest paid edge rusher in the NFL. He cannot go a full half of a season without a sack or a TFL. I understand there are other ways for edge rushers to impact games, but he is not doing it nearly enough. And they need him to do it if they want to maybe win this game or especially go on a run here.
Matt, C.J. Gardner-Johnson not going to play in this ball game. We found that out yesterday with the injury report. But Kyler Gordon looks like, with a full participation yesterday, he could be elevated to the active roster. Does he sway your decision or the way you look at this ball game if he does play and start?
No, I mean, the way Matt LaFleur was talking about it this week, he kind of views those guys as interchangeable. Now, I know they're different players, but Kyler Gordon's played, what, three games this season? If I'm not mistaken, that's what Matt LaFleur said yesterday. So as good of a nickel as he can be, as good of a slot defender as he can be, I'm going to need to see him play first before I allow a guy who's played three games this year to sway my prediction.
Talking with Matt Schneidman. He covers the Packers for The Athletic here on 9 to noon. Also catch the Tundra Pod along with our guy John Kuhn wherever you get your podcast. So what do you think is the key to this game? I said in the first hour of the show, I know it's pretty obvious, Matt, but the Bears 9-0 when they can get two turnovers. Is the key simply be safe with the football? Don't let them take it away, if at all, more than once?
Yeah, and recover your onside kicks and don't have busting coverage in the end zone. I mean, the Packers are the better team. Any objective viewer of these two games between these two teams can admit that. Packers have outplayed them for about 118 of 125 minutes or whatever it is. Jordan Love has been exceptional at protecting the football this year, especially compared to the last 2 years. And the only turnover they did have two turnovers. I was thinking quarterback. They had the fumble in overtime with Malik Willis, Sean Ryan, and I don't even know if the Bears recovered that. Did the Bears recover that one, or was it just
Fourth down. It was a turnover on downs. They also had a turnover on downs on the first drive of the game when they went for it on fourth and three, and then they had
Josh Jacobs, fumble.
So they had essentially three turnovers in the ballgame.
Right. So they need to do a better job of protecting the football. Not only that, but here's the key to this game. Red zone. Last time they played, the Packers went 0-for-5 in the red zone, 0-for-3 in goal-to-goal scenarios. On two of those five trips, they came away with no points, the Josh Jacobs fumble and the opening drive. I saw Nathaniel Hackett walk into practice this week, and he's been in and out throughout the season helping them. You got to call in the big guns for the gold zone this week because you can't go 0-for-5 again.
Matt, do you think Matt LaFleur will think about not kicking that field goal when they get into this ball game, or if he has fourth and three on the opening drive again, do you think he goes for it again?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think it's not a decision that you can make right now. I think you got to see, you know, how your offense is playing in the moment. If it's on the opening drive this time, he might learn from, you know, the past, and he didn't like that play call that he made on the fourth and one. Quite frankly, I don't think anybody did watching that game on the opening drive. But this might be a game where you have to take the points. This is a playoff game. You can't leave points on the board. Now, he could very well go for it, and they could run a better play and score seven and go on and blow the Bears out. It's a tricky decision. That's why he makes the big bucks to make decisions like these. But if you're asking me what I would do, fourth and three, opening drive, depends what yard line you're at, first of all. Depends how your offense is moving down the field. Depends who you have on the field. I'm kicking the field goal just to take the points. You see the way your defense played at Soldier Field last time, I would take the points.
You sound very confident about this ball game with the Packers. You sound decisive that you think that the Packers are a better team. How big of a letdown do you think it would be, or how big of a shock would it be if the Packers do lose this ballgame?
Well, I predicted 27-24, so I'm not overly confident that they're going to win the game, but I do think they are the better team. I don't think it would be a shock. These two
teams
are pretty
even. Would it be seen as a
failure? Yeah, I think so. I think anytime you can make the argument, now this is cliche, you can make the argument anytime you don't win the Super Bowl, it's a failure. But I think with all these stakes in this game, I know a lot of these are external and for us to talk about, and maybe they don't think about them inside the building, but if you're arch rival, it's kind of your chance to say, I know Ben Johnson's good, but we still own this rivalry. In enemy territory, you know, you let the last game against them slip. Matt LaFleur, you know, his job might still be in question. Like you said on our show earlier this week, I don't think this game alone decides whether he gets an extension or not, but I think it'll certainly have some sort of effect on that. There's a lot on this game, so I don't think it would be a shock or necessarily a failure if they lose, but it would sting for the Packers and their fans for sure.
Okay, you wrote an article about a deep run in the playoffs for the Packers and what it would take. What do you see as a deep run? Is it just winning one game as the seven seed, or would it be multiple games? Like, how far do you think the Packers actually can go?
Well, what a deep run would be, I would say probably going to the NFC Championship game. If they win this one, which I think they do, they then go to Seattle. And Seattle is clearly the better team than the Packers. They have arguably the best defense in the league, certainly in the NFC. You could argue along with the Eagles. I'm also thinking the Texans' defense. But there's the factor of, can Sam Darnold deliver in a big game? And he has so far this season, but at some point you have to think he's going to turn back into a pumpkin or whatever that Cinderella metaphor is, whatever happens in that movie. And could it be against the Packers? Could he throw them a couple? Last time the Packers went to Seattle, Packers fans own that crowd. Packers ran it down the Seahawks' throat. Now, I understand they have a different team and they're much better this year than they were last season, but I think anything can happen. What can the Packers do? I think the Packers can. Now, I don't think they will. I think they can win a Super Bowl. There's just that much parity in the NFL this year, and I don't look at a team in the NFL and say, I don't see any way the Packers beat them. I can convince myself the Packers can beat anybody. Do I think they will? No. But, I mean, I wouldn't even pick them to beat the Seahawks, but I'm just saying I think they feasibly could.
Matt, we've seen a more vocal Packers team headed into this one than we saw in the first two Bears-Packers matchup. They seemed to play it very close to the vest. They didn't want to talk about the Ben Johnson, I like beating Matt LaFleur twice comments. I think the only person who said anything even somewhat inflammatory was Micah Parsons. This week you got Keyshawn Nixon, you got Josh Jacobs, you got Christian Watson with some saying basically we wanted the Bears and we got some unfinished business with them. Jeff Hafley ended his press conference by saying we'll see you next week. What do you think is behind this more vocal and a little bit more bravado behind this Packers team headed into the third matchup?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's, you know, more inflammatory or strategic. I just think the Packers are a confident team going into the playoffs. And, you know, Christian Watson saying he would love to end the Bears season, and Josh Jacobs saying they took the hit on Jordan Love personal, and Keyshawn Nixon saying they got me last time, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to get them back. I don't think that's anything out of the ordinary. I don't think that's, you know, we wanted the Bears and not the Eagles, because I've heard a handful of guys say we didn't care who we got. We have unfinished business with both of those teams we could have played. Jeff Hafley obviously saying I'll see you guys next week. That was about as inflammatory, if you want to use that word, as it got, because he's essentially guaranteeing a win. The other guys weren't doing that. They're just, you know, amped up for a playoff game. I don't think it's anything strategic. I just think I get a sense of confidence. They're refreshed. They think they can win this game. And you don't want a team that goes in, you know, meek and quiet and not talking. And I still think they have a chance to go let their play do the talking for them. I don't think there's been anything too over the top.
The news today with the Packers ahead of the game tomorrow, John Eric Sullivan, their assistant GM, taking the general manager job in Miami. How big a loss do you think this is for the Packers in that front office?
Yeah, I think John Eric's done some really good things for this front office. He's been with the team for over two decades, first as a scouting intern, then rising up the ranks to be Brian Gutekunst's right-hand man. He interviewed for a couple GM jobs last year, and Gutekunst told us in April, I was looking back at some quotes from during the draft, and he said, John Eric is 100% ready to run his own team. I've relied on him for a bunch in his time here. They've worked together at long length here in Green Bay. So good for John Eric to get his chance to run a team. His dad used to be the wide receivers coach in Miami, I think for only a year, and now it begs the question, is he going to try to bring anybody else from Green Bay with him, whether that's Jeff Hafley, Matt LaFleur maybe, Malik Willis? So we'll see. Mike McCarthy, who knows? We'll see how this all shakes out.
That is Matt Schneidman. Check out his work at theathletic.com. Also, host of the Tundra Pod along with our guy John Kuhn. Get that wherever you get your podcast and follow him on Twitter at Matt Schneidman. And our guest for the last few minutes on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Matt, always appreciate the time and the insight, my man. Have a great trip and get that tire taken care of.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get that taken care of now. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you, Matt. There's Matt Schneidman. Why you got to throw him under the bus like that and call him out for not knowing how to change a tire?
I don't even know if he can put air in his tire. I don't know if he can stop and put air in.
He is an East Coast guy.
he ran out of gas one time and was shocked by it. And it's like, well, you got a meter right in front of you. Why are you shocked that you ran out of gas, kid? I mean, your gas tank.
They don't even pump their own gas over there.
Do you know how old a guy Matt Schneidman is? He's a little bit younger
than 30.
You. Okay,
30,
yeah, I was going to say, I think this is a generational thing. And I don't like the whole, like, oh, the younger generation is soft.
Literally, crush them.
Every generation does that. I don't
crush them.
I don't believe that, but there is a thing.
No, I can attest to it.
There
Trust
is
me.
A thing about, like, Gen Y and Gen Z that and millennials that they don't know how to change a tire. They don't know how to my wife doesn't know how to put windshield washer fluid in her car. Like, that is the easiest thing. I just threw her under the bus in the process. That is, like, the easiest thing you
easiest
can do.
Thing.
Easiest it's
thing.
So easy.
Does she know how to open the hood? Does Matt Schneidman know how to open a hood? I don't know. I would doubt it.
I do think that's a generational thing, that some of these younger generations, they never, like my dad.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron.
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Taught me, like, before he let me take the car off on
things,
my own.
What were things you were taught how to do on your own? Change your tire. Did you learn how to change the oil?
Check the oil with the
Did you learn how to change the oil?
Not change it, but he taught me how to check it. He taught me how to check the oil. He taught me how to put air in the tire. He taught me how to put, you know, like, the basic fluids. Like, you need windshield washer fluid. You need antifreeze, all that. He showed me how to do all that. Is this a failing of parents? Are parents not teaching their kids, like, the basics of a car before they let them drive off? Is that what's happening?
It's part of the softness that's just entered our society. Nobody does anything anymore on their own.
I don't think it's that. I really don't.
And I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it because I'm soft, too. There's a lot of stuff that I pay for instead of doing myself.
It's just a gap. There's just a gap.
But we at least had to go through the tutorial. We at least had to learn it. Like, I did typewriting class in high school, right? I did do the typewriting. Not that I ever would ever use a typewriter, but I did use it. So I know how. I have those skills.
You can tell which kids had to hold a flashlight for their dad and which ones did not have to hold a flashlight for their
100%.
Dad.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you can definitely tell. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, you know, as I've been getting ready for this show all week and getting ready for this game, I have compiled a mountain of numbers, like just a mountain of numbers on this matchup between the Packers and the Bears. I want to throw them at John Kuhn and just see what, if any of these numbers means anything in this football game tomorrow night, because sometimes these numbers, John will look at them and go, that doesn't mean a damn thing. That doesn't mean anything. So I will throw some numbers at John coming up next. We still have a little over a half hour to take your calls, your text on the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line if you want to talk about this game tomorrow night. We're here for you at 414-677-1250 on 9 to noon on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.